So I decided to say an interesting story, a Choshimishpit question, and I want to show you how each detail of the story literally changes the halacha. That's why Choshimishpit is a little bit complicated, and you have to know a lot sometimes. So you have to, let me start the story. The story goes that a couple married, living and they bought a house, and they have a picturesque window. You know, these windows that are very expensive windows and picturesque window. What happened was that the wife was not careful. I don't know exactly what she did. She didn't tell me the detail. It was really the rabbi told me the story, but she broke the window. Knowing that her husband has a terrible temper, and you don't call temper nowadays, has an anger management problem. So the kids are, so she decided quickly to say that her mother was over, and her mother by mistake, you know, they broke it, and she mother put out a check, she's going to have it fixed, replaced, and that's so far so good.
Okay.
She wants to know, she does the finances for her husband, and she's going to take money out of the account slowly, and pay the mother-in-law. There's a guy, I broke it, I'm his wife. I broke it. And, you know, and for the peace of my husband, knowing that he's a, you know, in Yiddish we call it tzekocht, I'm nice in English. Yeah, it means a piece of the shalom bayis. So can, what is the halacha? So we got to start from the scratch. What is the halacha? When a wife breaks something, and you know what is all these halachas? How do you look at it? And you see how the story changes, you know, as we go around. So let me start at the beginning. You know, the Yerushalmi says that if a wife breaks something in the house, she's potter. Doesn't have to pay. Now there's a machoikis why in the Rabbi Yerushalmi man. So let me explain the pasuk in the Torah. You know, there's a pasuk in the Torah. You know, there's called Arbu Shamrim. You know, it's called Arbu Shamrim. There's Hashem Bechinem. I watch something for free. Hashem Esocher. And there's a Shoyel. And a Soichet. The Machoik is which one that is. There's different types of Shamrim. The Torah says, if let's say I come to you and I say, can you lend me a car? I need a car. I'm a Shoyel. And I say to you, when you're lending me the car, can you also help me load the car? Same time. I say, can you do me a favor? Can you lend me the car? I'm by you. Right there. Help me load the car. And you're helping load it. That's called Shoyel Babalov. You know that expression? Balov Imoy. Which the Torah says, normally a Shoyel is chayev on everything. You know what that means? And I remember it was the earthquake. '94. There was the earthquake we had, and so there was a guy in my neighborhood borrowed someone's car to take his mother-in-law to the airport in the morning, and a brick from his fire thing just crashed through the window, and the insurance refused to pay. You know, insurance says that's GOD's thing. Insurance doesn't pay. It was a, what do you call this English car? Jaguar? You might pronounce it Jaguar. Kids, it wasn't a cheap thing. And he came to me. I said, what should I tell you? You're a shoyel. You have to pay. What can I tell you? If lightning strikes it, you also have to pay. So that, well, if a brick fell off, it wasn't his house, it's making it for whose house? So he was trying to prove to me that the brick wasn't for me. I don't care whose house. I tell him, lightning strikes the car. You have to assure you, it's chayev be'amsum. That means no matter what happens. But the Torah says, when I took the car from you, and I came to you, can you lend me the car? And I say, help me fill up the car. If you, I used you with the car, it's a gzeiris hakosev, that bul of imoy, I don't have to pay. Anything that happens, you know I don't have to pay? I don't have to pay not a shoyel, not a shoyel, even pshia, some. We show them, learn even gross negligence I don't have to pay. Gross negligence. I don't want to go into that right now. That's not the...
Anytime during the bargain.
Anytime. I borrowed the car for a week, 30 days. In the beginning, you came and helped me load the car.
It was
twice nice. And so now, the question is now, what is a wife and a husband? How do we look at a wife and a husband? So everyone agrees, the woman should not be insulted, but everyone agrees that a wife is meshubah to the husband. She's meshubah to work for him. So the Yishalmi says, what happens if the husband borrows something from his wife? She can have her own next maluk. You know what next maluk is? She could have bought him a cow, a car. I remember when I was a newlywed, I had a friend whose wife had a brand new car. She bought as a, she was doing very well as a girl. She had a car that was her car. Why haven't the husband borrows a car from her? So why everyone agrees it's clutter? Because she's working for him. She has to cook, she has to clean. So she's mishubit to him. So when I borrow the car from my wife, let's say it's her car, and you coming and working with me, that's called bolov imoi. That means I took the car from you, and you're still working for me. Even if you're not working right now, most of the shirim hold, you don't have to mamish work right now, but since if I say I need a cup of coffee, you got to get me a cup of coffee, it's bolov imoi, so then you put whatever happened to the car. That I agree. The question comes up, how about the other way around? He's meshubat, but he's not meshubat to work. He's meshubat to feed her. He could be a very wealthy person, write out a check. He's not meshubat to work. So let's say right now, even if he's not wealthy, he can mechlekes if you could make him work. As a whole, remember we learned in Ebenezer, he could mechlekes, he could beat him up to go to work. And let's say right now, but he could get, he's not meshubat to work. He's meshubat to get a mezonos. Someone wants to come give you a loan. So he's never obligated, you never could say, oh, he had to work for me. Because he could have always got someone, you know, there are people always in society who always know how to get people to pay the debts. You know, always, you know, every community has such people, you know what I mean? No? So, whatever the situation, you can't, a husband is a mamish, even that is a machlikis, I explained he has to go to work. I mean, the Tosis holds, I'm going to just say, I'm going to repeat this again. Tosis says, if a guy owes a person money, you cannot make him go to work. And many Rishonim hold, even Mazonis also, you cannot. Other Rishonim say, like Subah, you can hit him to go to work. So that's not so simple. But that is only because he has to pay her for the Mazonis. But he has someone else pay her for the Mazonis. And you know what I mean? There's ways to. But a wife has to do the work for the husband. Unless she brings in, I think, 4 shivchas. The minimum of 4 shivchas she's going to bring in. She doesn't do anything. Something like that. But the bottom line is, that, so now the Yerushalmi says, if a lady broke something at home, she's potter. So the machoikas are Rishonim. Some Rishonim learn, Chazal made a tikkun. There's not going to be shalom bias. Not because it's called bulot emoi, because the husband, again, she's working for the husband. You know, the husband's not b'shibah to her. So there's no ball of emoi that way. Remember I explained ball of emoi. So she using, now, when a, let's start from scratch. Let's make the simple case. She's washing dishes and she broke a dish. So it's very painful for a woman to hear that if, let's say, a wife, a lady, it was a housewife. Let's just make it simple. We'll get to the case where she works. She raises the children. She doesn't know the work. Everything in the house belongs to the husband. That's the halacha. That's the halacha. So Mamela, let's say she broke a dish. So the Rambam, I think it's the Rambam shita. The Rambam holds that min adin, she would have to pay. That's not going to be never shown bias. Every time she breaks something, got to pay. That's not going to be.
How will she pay?
Let's say she has money. She has nefs and maluk. The Rambam learns Chazal made a tikkun. There's not going to be any shown bias that way.
But assuming the tikkun before that,
the Kohen of Chazal didn't make such a tikkun. And not from a clothing, if she has next to maluk. If she had money, next to maluk.
If she doesn't have money,
he has to pay for the clothing.
He's still responsible.
Yeah, he's responsible to clothe her, to feed her, to medical insurance, and have a roof over her head. That's the husband's obligation. Even accident. Mazik Edelman's murder. You don't have to, you know. The art is showing him, but her wife is not Balavim. The other way around, the art is showing him say that even, but most of the you're Mazik, you don't say that. I don't want to go to that, it's a whole different sugya. Well, so the Rambam holds.
She doesn't have the money,
she owes him the money.
But
what did she get
the
books sold?
Did she owe the money?
She had
a gift from the sister, for example.
No.
The sister gave
her
the set of dishes.
And it was brilliant. Right. So I was going to explain that in a minute. What he just said. So normally, if the husband bought the dishes, then it belongs to her. To her, or, you know, he spent, he works. And, but you're asking, I was going to say, what happened to get a chasson a gift? And it's her side of the family, usually the lady side of the family. They get together the siblings, they buy china, and they buy, you know, b'chuli, b'chuli, b'chuli. So, in such a case, then it is her nechsum aleih. There is nothing to talk about.
Her 50%.
No, she got a gift. We accept that her family gave a gift.
It was given to the...
But she gave it to her. We accept in the place, Kimish and Ebenezer, if her family gave her a gift, we look at it as her nechsum aleih. If Chas Hashem to get divorced, she takes all the presents that her family gave her. Well, we'll get to that. We'll get in a minute the house. Let's just focus first on the Talpina.
So not the house.
Right. Let's say they gave her the silverware. They gave her the dishes. Her family bought it for her. Then it's hers. It's called Nechsum Aleich. And Chas Hashem there's a divorce. She takes it. You know, there's nothing to talk about. Meister? How does Meister get into the business?
Any type of, you can give your wife
stuff,
you can give your
school
stuff, you can give anybody stuff.
Wife is not tzedakah. Wife, you have to support. Let's start. I don't understand the question. A husband is mechuyev to feed his wife, dress her, you know, besides oina, it's just to make a roof over there, medical insurance. Now, what is the tzedakah? That he has to pay his own money. There's no tzedakah about that.
Okay.
Yeah.
If she owes him a certain amount of money, would that money be removed from the
ksuba? Yes. If they get divorced, it would be removed from the ksuba, for sure. And she, let's say she started working late in life, or she hit the jackpot, she would have to pay.
But
you made a tikkun that is... Chazal made a tikkun, it's washed. If the Rambam learns, the Rambam is trapped in the Shaman, it's going to be ridiculous. Every purpose, the Rabbi is showing him learn that you don't say Baal of Olav by Mazik. Mazik, Baal of Imus is a Shoyel. I'm not Baal of Im. Like you said, she took the plate and, you're laughing. I had a neighbor. He was Jewish, she was a Japanese. And she, when she would get angry, she would throw plates. And he kicked her out of the house. And I remember, I have another Jewish neighbor begged him, don't take it back. Find a Jewish girl. You know what I mean? But, you know, they have this crazy relationship, you know. She would come back after a few weeks. But throwing a dish, everyone agrees it's a mazik. By mazik, we don't say these halachas. You know, take a dish, you're not washing the dishes now. You're not right now, not you. That's a whole, we're not going to this. That's a whole machna frayim. That's a whole arichas about that. So let's focus. So what answered his question, so if you bought the dishes for her, then it's her nechsum aleich. But let's say he went and bought, and she's not working. I want to make a case where she is not working. We'll get to later where she does work. She's a regular housewife, she does her job, she's not working, and he works, then everything in the house belongs to him. That's where you have the Rambam learns. It's a tkuna, the Ravid learns, it's called Baal of Imoy. Because the Rebbe learns, not so clear what he meant, because since he's mechuyev to give him a zoynes, and sometimes he will have to go work, not so clear what the Rebbe means. But the Rebbe learned that both ways is Baal of Imoy. And the Chayim have a whole arichas to try to explain what the Rebbe held. And most poskim disagree with the Rebbe. It's again, other halachas, not here. So I don't say, because the Rebbe understood, since he might have to work, it's called Baal of Imoy. He has to be working, not might have to work. Okay, anyways. So this is a simple case. Now, another question is, let's say she broke something that she's not washing the dishes. You know, she was nothing to do. She was not working, and she broke something that's supposed to be decorative. Do I also say balavim when she's a shomer? Is she called a shomer when she's home in the home? Many of the shomerim hold she's a shomer. The wife is at home. She's taking care of the house. She's a shomer. That's part of being a wife. You'll be home. You're taking care of the household, and she's a shomer. So it doesn't have to be dishes like you're working with anything. Now, how about now? What? Well, again, it's bowl of imoy. The Chazal made whatever you're going to say. Chazal made a tikkun. If the wife breaks it, she doesn't have to pay. So we'll see later. If she doesn't have to pay. Can she later take money from the husband? So she doesn't have to pay. Here now, how about the window? She broke the window. It's very interesting. There is no din shomrim on karka. Well, that's why he said. She doesn't own the house. She owns the house. Changes the whole story. There is we passed in. There's no hilchus shomrim and karka. That means, you know, if a guy's a house sitter, you know, my neighborhood, had a guy who was able to sit in koilel, a young couple. He was paid so well for being a house sitter in a mansion in my neighborhood. He once told me he lives in that street, and I said, what? Yes, so first we thought in the koilel there must be some wealthy person's son-in-law. And then one time, to me, something didn't stim. You know, the way he dressed, and it didn't look like he's a son of a rich guy. And I finally asked him what he's doing. You know, no, I'm a house sitter. Many people thought he was the son-in-law. So I imagine, I didn't know, it's the first time I saw such a thing, you know, gets paid a lot of money. They went away for 3 months in the summer. They hired a newlywed couple, paid them very well. Besides living in the house, paid them very well to be house sitter. So let's say they were negligence, okay? Something was a negligence. So Mamela, there's no din shomrin bekarka. There's no something happens, as long as you were not mazik, you know the mazik, you don't say a shomrin. So Mamela, such a case, the window broke, it's not only mazik, you know, if she threw something at the window, whatever, she was working in the house, I forget what the guy told me. She's working in the house, I think vacuum clean, and she slipped over there. I remember exactly. So pashtus, we would say, she doesn't have to pay. You know, even if it's the husband's house, she's a shomer, there's no shvira b'balam on karka, so she wouldn't have to pay. So then if she doesn't have to pay, we'll soon see, when she did the trick with her mother, she could collect the money. We'll soon see if she does not. But what happens, it is the house in both names. The father-in-law buys a house, puts in both. I want to tell you something. If your father-in-law buys a house, he puts in both names, it belongs to both of you. And if the husband buys a house and puts in her name, it does belong to both of you. He gave her a gift. This comes up in always in Din Torah. Well, I bought the house. She was not working. She was a housewife. And I bought the house. And it's all my money, my hard-earned money. Yeah, but you put the house on her name. Who told you to put the house on her name? You put the house on her name. So you become, you got to get a gift for her.
So legally, if her house is in the name? Legally, if her house is in the name?
Just her name.
Just her name. Why
no, not just her name.
Both. It means she gave the house for a gift.
Her name is not on the house.
They didn't give her a gift. It's not hers. Then we get later, if she paid for it. Let's just focus when she didn't pay for it. No, we'll get to it a little bit better. Let's just focus. She's a housewife, and he bought a house. He put on her name. He put on her name. We learned, we explained this is called, put on her name, this is a gift.
So we look at the intention. You say a lot of times in our society people put things in their wife's name for various tax or
other. Yeah, we sure do a good attention, we sure. But the house, most people put on, you ask. You're saying if you put only on her, you're right, there will be a different story. But never do that. If you know your marriage is not solid. But I just had someone who did it for his nephew, did a favor for his nephew. Boy, is he paying. Whoa. A rich man. So then I said, why? I tell people, never do this. Don't put in the house in someone else's name to do him a favor. Anyways, let me focus over here. So let's just say he bought the house. He's a husband. Like nowadays, put both names. It's a gift to her. So when the window broke, you know what I mean? You can't say if she's willing to pay, it has to be half and half. The shifters. They're shifters, you know what I mean? And we can say that, you know, that's it. We can get to it. I'll get to it. What makes it a shifters when I'm going to first get to the one. They're shifters. If the lady also works, you know what I mean? Let's say a lady, which nowadays lots of women work. I want to explain, there's a huge machlokes just in the Mishnah Melech. I think it's the Mishnah Melech and the Rivash. What happens when women work? Which nowadays in society, many women earn a lot more than the husbands. Many don't, many a little bit less. But there are lots of women, you know, who really earn a lot more than the husbands. It's a fact, you know, they've dealt with such situations. So when they buy a house, first of all, the household things, you can't say it belongs to him, she's a shomer. The money comes, oh, let me explain. So the machlokes Mishnah Melech is, a lady never tells, you know, there's a din, it starts from scratch. The Gemara says the husband has to give her mezoinus, feed her, clothing, dwelling, medical, all these things, he has to do this for her, because he supports her, so everything she does belongs to him. So if a lady works, all the money belongs to the husband. Why? Yeah, he's supporting her. So if she works, all the money goes to her husband. What happens if the wife earns a lot more than her stomach fill? Now, if she would tell him, my dear husband, you know what I mean? My dear husband, you know, this is the rule that, again, she is today, that everything has to be so equal, you're rocking the boat. The boat gets rocked. That's what it is. So woman, even the times of Mishnah Melech, so no woman likes to say it. So is it, it's clear if they would know the rights, and would not be afraid, they would say it. They don't want to say it because, so the Machlokes and the Mishnah Melech and the Rivash, one more shit, I remember which one says, you know, she could have said it, obviously she doesn't say it, so bother, the money belongs to her. So Mamela, because you use the money to support her money also, so you can't say that whatever in the house belongs to the husband, she put money into the thing too. So the dishes, let's say they bought dishes from the counter there. Mechate says it's his. It's just as much hers and hers. So then he does not. If you would have to pay, you would never have to pay the whole amount, anyways. So let's say with the window, okay. So the window breaks. They bought out money from their house together. About the, you know, it's bought shittus. It's mamish shittus. You know, because the reason maybe to buy a house where she was working. So now, let's look at it. So she really, al pi halacha, the woman breaks a window. Come out all situations, if she didn't do it in a mazik, dig it away. You know, he says she was working at home and things happen, and, you know, things could happen, whatever it is, and the window broke. Really, she would not have to pay. Either house the kuna, even though there's no shaman in the karka, and all these halachas. Now, so the mother-in-law put out a check to pay. So can she? She didn't have to pay. So really, you wouldn't have to pay. So if she knows the finances and she could figure out how way to get back the money to him, she could do that. What?
The money was given to him.
The money was given to her.
Yeah. She gave it to him as a gift.
No, the mother-in-law didn't give it. They spoke about it. The mother-in-law was going to take responsibility. Didn't give a gift. She begged the mother.
Yeah,
do me a favor. You know, say that you were here and that you slept. My husband is an angry guy. So the mother-in-law right away put out a check. The next day, they came and fixed it. It wasn't a small amount of money. Oh, it was $2,500 or $3,000. I mean, I didn't realize. Yeah, who's a builder? Is that true? That these expensive things is very expensive. These picturesque windows. You're not familiar.
No.
Stained glass.
Oh, yeah.
They're very expensive. Yeah. He said to me. I think he said to me $3,000. I think he said to me. So she did it. She to call her a wash. The mother wrote a check and she said, "I'll pay your mom."
The husband's mother-in-law wrote a check.
Not her husband. The wife, the husband's mother-in-law, right? Said she took responsibility, which wasn't true. She gave her a check and they had it fixed. Now he doesn't own the finances. He will. The rabbi explained to him, he'll never know. So can she pay back? Then she doesn't. She would be potter. She only did it out of his anger. You follow? You don't have.
This could be like you have a manager working at your store, so to speak, working for you, and that person has the right to make an order from a vendor, you know, sending more goods, and that's in a sense a debt. Can't you say it's a debt? That his shomer took on a debt on the house on behalf of the household, and now the household has to pay back the debt?
Yeah, that's you know, he looks at it this way. That's also.
If I give you a gift, can I later on take the gift back?
I didn't give a gift. They like it chiller now. Chiller spoke to make this. Unfortunately, that's how he is. The Shalom Bais is not the bear, you know, he's an angry man. No. But he said, mother-in-law says, I'll give you the $2,000, $3,000. And mother says, I want you to get it back to me somehow, some hook and crook. Look what Chiller said. So the reason she wrote out the check, because she didn't want to, you know, he's going to be fuming. He's an angry man. So the mother-in-law says, here, I'm going to say I did it, and here's the money, and you get back the money. So they didn't have a shalom, but the Rav told me, he thought it was you're not allowed to do it. I says, why not? The money, the $3,500 to fix the window, he took the money, fixed the window, had it done, they used the money for that, so now that money, she didn't have to do it.
You're going to get very upset at someone, someone gives you a gift, but they're coming to give
you a gift. There's not a gift. That's a ruse. I say in English, it's called a ruse. They say in English, it's like a ruse. There's no gift. This is like we kept him in the dark. He doesn't know. So she showed her mother, showed her husband. Look, I got a check. He held like the rabbi here held that. You know, he gave a gift and she's like, honor. He held his right.
Not the wife, not the mother, not the
mother-in-law. Why is no honest?
You're afraid, so don't live with the man you're afraid to live with.
That's not the shalom. As a rabbi, I learned, I always tell this to people, and I teach a smicha program, I always tell them, I never answer only what you ask me. I don't want to open the can of worms, right? Like you just said, the story gets very complicated after a while. Unless I know there's an iser involved, you know, iser after, I try to find out what else got mixed up over there. But if it's like this, this is what you're asking me, not asking you shalom bais. So the b'chiller, when he got the money, the money was, I'm not giving you a loan, I'm not giving you a gift. I'm going to give you money and as a loan for the wife, so she could say that her mother broke it, not her. And I want the wife to get me back the money. The mother says to the daughter, that's what it really is. We didn't speak it out, you know, to speak it out. So now they could channel the money out. Somehow he doesn't know in the finances, and she could get him the money. The only problem that you have, the only problem, which is more complicated, which when he brought it out, what happens, you know, how the window broke? Gotta start looking the chayim. If let's say, let's say the window broke of her negligence. She was a mazik. So we say a baal of imoy is potter from pshia. Pshia means I left the door wide open and someone came and stole it. But what happens if I was mazik it? That's not called pshia. That's called a mazik. In Mele, there's a big machlokes about that. I have to look. I remember this. But most places say don't say bull of imoy on a mazik. And a hezek, you know what I mean? He was not a show, she was mazik. You know what I mean?
She did it. How accidental was it?
Yeah, but accident is called a mazik. I was mazik with accident. You know what I mean? That's called a mazik. That's called, you know, it's when I'm using your dishes and while I'm doing it, that's your shomer over here. There's no, over here, he has to know how it broke. Exactly. So, you know, that's why Choshimishpet always gets so. You know, it's never one localized question. You know what I mean? It's how do you look at it? You know, let's say she would be working. Let's say she would be working. She for surely could pay without asking him. I mean, it'd be a shayla now. That was the first question I asked the rabbi. Is she working? She happens to be not working. But if she's working, I want to, it's an interesting thing. Because if she's working, the money's hers. She really could tell her husband.
What if she's working?
So I'm just saying, if she's working, and one second, and she's working, she's earning more than a stomach fill. Remember, it's not that she's just earning what a stomach fill. Let's say she's earning a lot more than it cost. So then she could do whatever she wants. There's no question. The only question is if she's just a housewife, happened to be. But let me just finish the story. He tells me, and I asked him, start him asking, he says, she's really a trained lawyer. But he's doing so well in business. So, you know, why should she work? You know what I mean? They said the bottom line, she's not working. Just because we don't say since she's a trained lawyer. So
how big
Yeah, what do you say?
She's going to make the same amount of money, and she's going to make the same amount of money, and she paid for the thing to the CEO of her house.
Yeah, but usually they bring the money together one thing. If they would have separate accounts, he would say, yes, you would be right. Here the money is one. So the question is, if she earns more money, then for sure she has control over the money to say what she wants. There's no question about that.
We have implied contracts. In today's society, we view things differently, and therefore a woman has a system.
Hello? Yeah. Is that what you said? Is that what you said? Aber sie gehangen eigentlich einzig in Sache geht, ja? Dann ist okay. Aber nicht alles da, da wird Chille, so muss man gar nicht stehen, aber also... Ja. Apologize to this from the Mekons.
So what's the problem that she's taking money from his account, paying back her mother-in-law? What's the issue? Is it Ghana or?
So the rabbi thought that if she's not working, the money was a gift, and maybe she has no right to take money out of the account to give. You know, that's what the rabbi looked at it as the rabbi saying. The mother-in-law gave a nice gift. So she gave a nice gift, so she has no right to take out the money from
it. Is that an intent of the giver or the intent of the receiver? The husband who received it, so he's getting paid.
So we look at it as a gift. They gave a gift, so you can't take money out. A wife has no right to just give a money away. Small things she's allowed to. If a woman does not work, it's very important. Your husband's not mishulach is not allowed to take money, only a dollar. Anymore.
Unless the husband
says to the wife, but the Mishulach doesn't know that. Unless the husband agrees that you could give your wife, you give the tzedakah, whatever you feel. I have wealthy people who are wives, the guy told me, I left my wife, I gave a budget, you should give tzedakah, she should feel good, that she also gives tzedakah, whatever. But a woman, he works, she doesn't, she has no right. This is very important, though. I said the story once over, twice this happened. One time, a guy came to me and tells me like this, is her friend, her close friend, who grew up together, is making a wedding. And she's buying her a ticket to come to the wedding, and setting up a hotel, in Borough Park, there's a hotel, something over there. And she tells her friend, do not tell my husband that I pay for it. She says, she called me up, I don't want to go, she's a Ghana. So she tells me that, she explained to me that this her friend opened the store in Bar Park, and she's doing twice or three times the amount of income that her husband does. And her husband doesn't know, she runs a business on her own. I says, she has a right to do that. She has to pay for your ticket, pay for your hotel, and he didn't give her the right, and because a lady could say kimli. You know what kimli means? Remember to explain, whenever there's a machlokes in Dina Mumanis, you could say, kimli, I follow the opinion says, even though I didn't say to my husband, I'm keeping my money separate, we don't have to say, she has right to assume that.
So on that, we have implied contract. So
only when it's announced to happen.
My wife does not accept this perspective of my property not being hers,
right.
And I don't do anything to prevent that perspective from being changed.
What do you mean?
I don't convey the aspect that this is my property and you only work with it. It's mine. Instead, everything is, most of us, I think, have our accounts together with the wife's name and the husband's name. And all everything that we do is together, the bills. Therefore, we have an understanding socially
But that's what the place can talk about. They also no more wanted to say that it's a rocks the boat. And because they don't say that, I was a machlekes mishnah mel. Why wouldn't the lady want to say that? Well, let's say our woman today will earn, you know, enormous amount of money. I mean, I was sitting with a couple, and she was earning $350,000 a year. So, you know, our women who are very geschickt, and you know, so an husband, you know, scratches together $100,000, $120,000. So she doesn't. What is she going to tell him? My dear husband, this is mine. This is yours. Yeah, Shalom Bayis is not going to be the great. So, but the Rishpeskim hold the Mishnah Melech at Helm that since the only reason she doesn't say she doesn't want to rock the boat, even though he lives this way, with all our money. Whenever there's a din Torah, they always came saying to her, "Well, it's not true." You don't say implied.
But he's not a Kanah if he uses that account.
No, he could say Kimli, because you could say this is Machlekes HaPaskim. And he could say also Kimli.
So here it's reversed. If the husband is earning the majority of the money, and he never told his wife, you should know, he didn't tell you that it's all mine. He doesn't tell her. But they have a shared account. She can say Kimli, and since it's a joint account, since that, the understanding is that it's all communal assets, she can spend it as she wishes. Because Kimli, to her...
Why does this not look that way? There's no law, but you only could say that the woman, today your wife expects, 1 second, you're saying your wife expects that I could do whatever I want with the money.
No, but
yes,
we expect that as well.
Yes, you expect that, right, but very often it's not so. I have seen husband be very annoyed.
No,
my wife gave tzedakah,
and
that's
not the norm. The norm in our community today.
If your wife gave $180 tzedakah, you ask her, dear wife, what is this $180? Well, you know, she cried, and you'll be very annoyed, you say.
Certainly would be annoyed, but that doesn't change.
No, it does change it. No, that does change it.
Who said you would get annoyed?
I'm asking him.
The guy next to you is not agreeing with you.
No, but because if you buy the $180, you would get upset with him.
No, but I'm saying that doesn't make it becomes hers just because he allows her to spend it. See, let me explain what you're saying. No. It doesn't become automatic. That means we look at it this way. Now, Halacha looks at it this way. It's all mine, but I trust you. I trust you. I trust you. You bought tchotchkes, you bought this. I trust you. A lady. Not the chat. Everything I earned, I gave it to you. If I write the house on your name, and my name, the upshot, he gave it to her. No, but I'm saying I trust her. Do you know that one of the wealthy people, my community, listen carefully, his right hand man used to be a coding man. He has a right to spend money to a certain amount without asking him. He doesn't want to be bothered that he gives money for the Mishalachim.
But the account is not in his name.
It isn't his name. He has
a right to sign.
Right.
That doesn't
make a difference. Being in the name, it doesn't make a difference. That means it's his, and I trust my wife. She should run my business. That's it.
But I think that common action.
That's the Deutsch way of looking at it.
We're going through something. All our wives have our credit cards. All our wives have access to bank accounts. All our wives buy.
But halacha still doesn't change that.
We have a common practice.
That means I trust them.
No, that's not the way the men think. I'm just telling you, the men here don't think this way.
So they don't think anything. No. It's all alarm things. But they don't think. They don't sit down and figure it out. What is this? The halacha says it belongs to him. And the halacha says, that's I trust my wife. I trust
her.
Yeah, but I'm saying it's not.
They do think, and that's understanding of people.
But she's bad. Yeah, but I don't know if there was no Kenyan neither. There's no. It has to be a Kenyan. There's no Kenyan. How did it become her?
The real estate
is put on both names. That's legal. It's called the Kenyan.
By the bank account, she's
lying. But it's not. You know, if let's say he earned the money. So how did she become a Kenyan? That's hers. How?
Now
they can't do anything.
What's your primary?
Yeah.
The money that's in the account.
No. Shall you have to make a Kenyan? There's no Kenyan, don't say that.
Why doesn't we say that?
How does it make it a Kenyan? You have to make a Kenyan. She's a partner, yeah. Any husband put the wife in the partner company, and they, that means
what
that. Mean
that she
the signature.
Her signature
is
the account.
No, the signature is she can take money out of the account.
No. The signature is that the owner. Which people don't think this way.
No signature.
They open an account because it's our finance.
But there's still no Kenyan. There is no Kenyan over there. There's no Kenyan. There's absolutely no Kenyan there. You have to make it to you know, it's left. It has to be a Kenyan.
Signature works for a business. Why doesn't it work for the account?
Yeah, but it's
not for her business, not for the house.
That's even cash. You would bring home cash. Your chotze cannot be coined for her neither. Chotze has to be even the wife is yuda. You're not even coined. Even if you bring home the money, cash, like good old days, a bag full of cash. That has to be something to make her hurt. No, it doesn't. I mean, the reason to do it legally, you know, but that, of course she's a thief. Once you sit in the entire, it's not so simple. You see the guy, you know, I sat more than once in the entire, the guy was screaming at his wife. I had a case where the husband told his wife, I don't want you to, he was giving for the mother-in-law money every month he would give his mother-in-law money. You know, she, you know, sometimes you have, you know, she got divorced and she's a, you know, he calls her a parasite. You know, she doesn't want to take a job and then she, you know, and he happens to be wealthy and he's very annoyed. He's very annoyed. Told her, I don't want you to get money. And he, you know, it was one of those cases where he's very, very successful and wasn't paying attention. Found out he was fuming. Yeah, he brought his wife into my office and, I really said to her, you're not allowed to do it. You're not allowed to do it. Your husband doesn't want. He works hard. I mean, it's, you know, but you should buy us to work out, take care of the children. What was her answer? I work so hard, take care of the children. Great, but you don't earn the money. He has a right to api alocha. You don't say, what do you mean? Every time he puts money into the account, we're shit for this. I could do whatever I want. No, we don't say that.
If he would be spending money that she doesn't want,
where do
people think
that's
all about
him? No. And alocha wouldn't be that. There has to be some.
I think it comes down to how we view the implied contract in halacha.
Right, we don't look, right, the way you're describing, and in secular world, the implied contract, you mean, because that's how we live that way. Now, halacha doesn't work that way. Halacha, we look at it, it belongs to you, and I trust my wife.
So to what extent?
It's a bit better, you should know that. You don't, I'm sure you have a great shalom bias, but let's say someone doesn't have a great shalom bias. The reason he does it, because if you wouldn't trust her, there'll be no shalom bias. See, it's today, it's not that case. I give you half my money. If a person would act, it's I earned the money. I have people, when I got divorced, the lady once told me, I can't live this way. I just can't live this way. I don't work and I'm taking care of the children every day. He says, why did you spend this? I just can't live this way. So today, he only does it because, not because he wants to. He says, I won't be able to live peace with her. Imagine a lady with a husband looks down her neck. What did you spend? Let's go through the whole thing. We won't be
so nice. So do we believe in the concept of coercion? For example, that last case, he said that the mother-in-law, the wife's giving the mother-in-law money. The husband says, I don't want you to do this anymore. And so she can make his life sound miserable too. And then he says, fine, you know what, give your mother money. He's not agreeing it. He just wants show life.
Well,
he
no,
want her to give it.
Api halacha, if you gave it because there was coercion, it's given. There's no such a thing. There's only better going now, such halacha. You could say, tolerate the, how do you say in English?
Coercion.
Yeah, tolerate the uncomfortable feelings and the strife and whatever, and don't give it. You capitulated. He didn't hold a gun. Didn't know he ever holds a gun. That's tliya v'zuvan. But just because she's a nudnik, and you gave in the.
But you can see the same logic. The only reason he's doing that.
The only what?
The only reason he's doing that is to come by. He really doesn't want you to spend the money. He has no interest in agreeing to that. He's only doing it to come by.
The interesting Shulchan Aruch Rab. The Shulchan Aruch Rab says that for a pialucha, the money belongs to him, but Yerushalayim should not take money where it is not 100% given. We spoke about it once, based on the Gemara Bar Metzia. That means if you have, you are someone's monster, someone giving you money, only they really don't want to give you the money. And the only reason they're giving the money is because, you know, no choice. They shouldn't take the money. A Yerushalayim should not take such money. Based on the Gemara of Matzia, because he doesn't want to give it wholeheartedly. He doesn't want to, that's a separate issue. But it's his. You gave it, doesn't make a difference wholeheartedly. Very often, Shaluchim stand over your head, and you know, or a child cries and he puts up a tantrum. Okay, or your wife puts up a tantrum. You know what I mean? Okay, let me tell you. Any other questions?
So what's the
same story is she's allowed to do it. She's allowed to pay him back. She's allowed to pay mother back. So I told the rabbi, now I have a separate question. You should get him to go for. You should get him to go to help. That's a separate issue. You know, if a wife is afraid of her husband, that's terrible. That can be shalom. Anyway, if a husband is afraid of the wife, is afraid of the husband, that's a terrible thing. Terrible, terrible thing. Okay, let me tell you another interesting story. Yeah, I asked me, this happened last week. So a guy tells her, he doesn't have a computer, doesn't have an internet. So he asked the guy, do me a favor, I need tickets to get me to go to Chicago. No problem, but you know, and he buys him both tickets by mistake. He gets the tickets and he looks at it, and the tickets is from, coming from Chicago to LA. Oh, yeah. Well, it happens, yeah. So now, the guy wants to know, you know, like, do I have to pay him? And he went, he was supposed to go to a bris, someone's bris there. And he missed it, you know, he couldn't buy a ticket anymore. So even the ticket that he bought, if he would have bought a ticket now, he would have missed it. You know, he told him, I want a chapa bris there, and I'm going there. So the kids, you understand what happened. So even the ticket, let's say he could have bought a ticket one way to Chicago himself, then that ticket would have been valid. But he couldn't buy, when he gave him the tickets, he couldn't even get a ticket anymore going to Chicago. He would have come to Chicago, the bris would have been over. So the question is, he bought him two tickets. So the ticket that he bought, let's say he bought him a ticket today to go to Chicago. My mistake, he made it coming to Chicago. I didn't make a shlich on that. Nothing to talk about that. Yeah, you messed up. That has nothing to do. But this other ticket was valid. It was one for today, one for tomorrow. Tomorrow I bought your ticket. You asked me, get me a ticket to go there. If it, you come back.
That was contingent on the first one.
So the bottom line is he did his shlichus. He did a shlichus. Now the only question is, Ashkoich, he did me a shlichus, but you messed up the beginning of the shlichus. So you messed up the beginning of the shlichus. I bought it half from your ticket.
What's the rule? We say a shlichus, not a shlichus when he does
the. I could tell him, l'afsi. So this is the question over here, right? So this is what I explained to the guy. Over here, this, you know, you're right that the ticket coming from there is a good ticket, but I said this guy went to the best, he's from a guy, he wants to know if he has to pay him. So I said to him, but he did something we have no use, because the first ticket he messed up. So the first ticket messed up, you have nothing from the second ticket. Especially, probably he put in the first ticket first, it was today, and the second ticket coming back. Whatever, I don't know how the mistake was done. So I made you a shliach, and your shliach got me no place. So on that ticket, for sure, he doesn't have to pay. Understand? On the ticket. The second ticket, he also doesn't have to pay, because I asked you to, you know, if it's terrible, I asked him to a favor, now he... Yeah. Let me just remind another thing I'm going to say. See, I'm going to explain another interesting halacha. What is a principal in a school? He has the school's money. He's a shem chinam, a shem socher. But you know, what happened? It was okay. What happened? He's getting paid, right? He's a shem socher. But even if it'll be a shem chinam, tell you what happened. There's a guy who came to the mikveh. One of the menahim from the school came to the mikveh. He had $3,000 cash on him.
From the school.
Hegdish money. And when he came out of the mikveh, it was gone. I mean, this always boggles my mind. Like, you come to the mikveh, and the guy wants to be from come to the mikveh, but, you know, share the other. I mean, it's one of those things that mind boggles me. You know, but al kaponim, so the question is, he asked me that, you know, do I have to pay the school or not? I said, this is not a shemesucha, the question I told him. It's gross negligence. You're a pshia. It's not a gneva veda. He thought he asked me, shemachinam, even put, I gave away. This is gross. You don't bring cash into a mikveh. That's gross negligence. You know, like carrying cash is, so you have to pay him. So even if you hold it, it's not a shemesucha. You understand? You just call this a shemachinam. So a guy who, the truth is, a guy who collects money is a guy does a bar mitzvah. You know, the machlokes in the Gemara. Right? See, a shomer socher is a big chiddush in the Torah. Shomer socher is chayev gneiv aved. You know what gneiv aved anyway? Even if he was no negligent on his part, it broke in, or he was lost. No, he's also chayev. You know how you become a shomer socher? The Gemara says, if I'm carrying a veda, taking back an veda, I found the object, I'm taking it, I become a shomer socher. Why do I become a shomer socher? Because if a poor person would come to me and ask me for a penny, I don't have to give him because I'm oisig b'mitzvah. So I earned a penny. So now I'm a shomer socher. You have to become a shomer socher. Amazing, Gemara?
It's
like the Good Samaritan laws here. I mean,
there's no point
in
doing a nice thing because
it's. I'm saying,
a nice thing is such a big
mitzvah
because you pay a penalty.
Yeah, become a shemisuchah. I mean, he has to be careful. You know, shemisuchah is chayav nevedet. It is a tiny bit of negligence on his part. Let's face it. Right? I mean, it's a bamish of a guy armed robber, he's potter. He came, a guy came with a gun, armed, robbed him, and took away, then he's potter. Follow, there has to be some part of a of so you know, it's very interesting.
How would you value title negligence? A principal in the school who has an employee who embezzles money from the account because the principal didn't really look at it. If he
didn't check the account, normally you would, a person that's part of a principal's job. That's not a job. He has a control or something. But I say this is the normal principal should pay. What's going on? And he was lazy to check, then
he just overlooked it for a month and his money went out.
The overlooking is a pshia. It was a tiny pshia. Yeah. This is a good question when he's asking. Let me explain why he's asking. The money in the bank, this is the new cyber thieving going around. This happened, you know, this happened. I'll tell you, it might just happen in this community. Chesamim is, I'm in the house, I'm watching the table, the glass, the windows. This is in the bank, and I didn't check the account on the computer to see if someone outside, he skimmed the money off. You think he was sitting in the office, someone scammed the money, they could be sitting in Romania, right? Sitting in who knows where.
Would it matter?
Yeah, but why? That's the question. That is the question, because I'm not a shomer on that, L'chaira. You know, I'm not. What am I showing
you? You said before, is his job to look at the account?
That's it. Yeah, but that's it. It's his job. But there was no. My job. That's the prince. My job. Let's say, is to watch things in the house. I'm supposed to watch the jewelry. I'm supposed to watch the glass. Everything. That's my job. But doesn't matter. Even though it's my job, Lemaisa. But there's a shmira. There's a chepetz that I'm showing it on. But you have an account money and someone's skimming off the money, there's no, you know, shmir over there.
The bank is a
shmir. No, the bank doesn't pay back the money. I don't know. You know, the laws.
No, the bank doesn't know who's taking the money out.
Yeah, let's presume it's an employee in yeshiva. I was working in yeshiva and they take the money. But it's through the bank. The bank wouldn't pay that back.
The stepson. Why would the bank? What about the stepson? Bank would, if you would have put to the bank, you would get his money. Why?
No, because the stepson has authorization.
He didn't have authorization. No.
They wouldn't pay back.
Why?
It was probably because they missed it and they lost the amount of time.
Time lapse.
Depends.
I think he. If I remember well, he didn't want his son to. I think he didn't want. He didn't want to go to the bank because then he would have, I think he told me he would have to apply a police report who stole it. Yeah, he didn't want to do that. So this is the question I have. Is there din shoymen on such a thing? It's a lift. It's lift. You know what lift means? It's hot air. I'm shoymen on what? I'm shoymen to check the computer. Yeah, but if I get paid for that, maybe if I hire someone to get paid for that, your job is to go check.
Not only also to look.
I don't know. That's a good question.
So, did you have to put a basement for that? Did the stepfather have to put a basement?
Guy stole money from him. He did. When he confronted him, he admitted. Yeah, I mean, it wasn't like he denied it because. He got investigated, showed them exactly where he did it, and which bank, and how he did it. He did it, 17-year-old boys, you know, they know how to figure things out.
Especially,
yeah, 17-year-old. What do you think he was? What do you think? Oh, 17-year-old boys. I always say, the younger they are, the better they know how to do it. Quickly, what was I lost track.
So in order to be shomer, you're saying that you actually have
to have... Pashtus, you have to have a possession of... You know, this is like you're shomer on... I don't know exactly what it is.
So if you lost your debit card, if the principal has a credit card that belongs to the school and he lost the credit card, is he shomer on the credit card, which is access to the money?
So that is a big machlokes in the Ktzos and the Nesivos, where indirect loss... Let's say you do something, your job is something, and indirectly, something happened. You lost the credit card, and you're supposed to be a shomer on it. Indirectly, someone in the school found it, and he stole. I have a grammar. That's a big machoikis. A big machoikis in the Achoyim about that.
What if you're an employee, and let's say your job is to audit bank accounts, and someone commits fraud, and you just relate
it? Just?
Really?
Yeah, that for pastors, if you paid for that, get paid you, then.
You're an accountant at a company, and your company, and then your job is to check the bank account every day. It's open this fraud against the bank, and you didn't watch it every day.
For sure, he has to give back the money, but he didn't do his job. But I paid him and didn't do it. The question, does he have to now? That's the question that he's asking.
Yeah.
I mean, he has to pay back the money that he didn't work, didn't do his job. I paid you for that, didn't pay you. But the question is, let's see, usually that's not the amount. He lost a lot more money.
Right.
This is something. Okay. Right.